Hello, everybody. I'm Parrish Alford.
And I'm Logan Lowry, and this is Double Coverage.
Ole Miss and Mississippi State Talk brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, everybody. This is Parrish Alford with the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. And you are listening to Double Coverage, a podcast of the Daily Journal. I'm joined by Logan Lowry, our Mississippi State beat writer. We are fresh off watching a game together. We don't do that a whole lot, but Mississippi State and Ole Miss got together Wednesday night at the Pavilion at Ole Miss, and it was a career night for Stephon Moody. We're going to talk about that in a moment. We'll talk about some other things as well. Big baseball weekends coming up for both schools. Logan, how are you, man?
Hey, I'm doing well, Paris. Like I said, you had the home court advantage last night. I was the one that had to make the road trip and got back in about midnight. So it's a sort of an early rise for me today, a little earlier than I normally do. But I'm here. So it's a successful trip in that regard.
You know, journalism happens, and away we go with that. So we're going to keep producing those podcasts, man, and writing online and in the paper and doing all those things, even after late nights. The big question, Logan, is on that Oxford to Starkville run late at night. Did you hit a possum?
I did not. Actually, I saw a lot of deer on the side of the road. Luckily, you know, when you're out of deer season, the deer aren't as skittish, and most of the time they're just grazing on the side of the road. So, you know, it's really not a whole lot of deer hit this time of year, you know, as far as, you know, hunter. You know, obviously I'm a deer hunter myself, so I know when they're active and when they're not. You know, they kind of backed off. They're not as skittish, so they're on the side of the road grazing, and, you know, luckily they stayed out of the middle of the road where I was traveling.
I saw I counted 8 deer the other night coming back from the NFL Combine. It's spending a lot of time on the trace because I pick up the trace around Lawrenceburg, Tennessee, and ride it on in the rest of the way. I only counted 8 deer, but I saw rabbits on the trace really for the first time running out in front of me. But that was all about 9 o'clock at night, kind of, you know, fairly late in the evening. So just the interesting travels of sports riders. Every time we get somewhere safe, it's a win. Folks, want to remind you about some other podcasts, productions of the Daily Journal. Be sure to look for The Memo, our news podcast with Brad Locke and Derek Russell. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday each week. 3 times a week they're coming to you from Daily Journal World headquarters, and you can find that wherever you go to search for your listening information. And also check out Prep Rally with Brad Locke and Gene Phelps. That comes out every Wednesday, and Logan and I are here with you each Thursday. And so last night, Wednesday night, was Ole Miss and Mississippi State, the first time the Bulldogs visited the Pavilion at Ole Miss, the Rebels' new arena. Ole Miss coming away with an 86-78 win. And while Ole Miss led most of the way, the game was they had a little bit of a comfortable lead, but they really couldn't deliver the knockout punch against Mississippi State. The Bulldogs were in it late, even when they went into fouling mode and got back within 6 a little bit. But ultimately, ran out of time, and Ole Miss just kept shooting, and most of that was from Stephon Moody, who finished with a career-high 43 points. He was 11 for 24 from the floor, 6 for 12 from three-point range, 15 for 18 from the free throw line. It ties for the number 13 highest scoring game in Ole Miss history. And I want to come back to another question about that game in just a moment. But, Logan, a lot of the game last night just looked like a one-on-one contest between Moody and Gavin Ware. You know, Ole Miss was intent on not letting the Bulldogs hurt them from the perimeter the way they did in Starkville when they were 12 for 24 from three-point range. I think maybe Malik Newman's health played into that too, but the Ole Miss was really intent on running State off the three-point line last night.
Yeah, and so much of what happened in Starkville back in January was the fact that, you know, obviously Ole Miss was playing without three players, including Stephen Moody, and then Malik Newman was kind of at his peak. That was actually his best game during the. He had a 14 game stretch where he was playing really good basketball, and that's really about the only time he's been healthy this year. He had 25 points in that previous game. He had three last night coming off the bench. He's been back for three games now after missing the Alabama game with back stiffness, and just doesn't look the same player. You know, he's obviously not, you know, at 100%. That's something that has been howling last night about. But, Gavin Ware had a good game down the and really, I thought Ole Miss did a pretty decent job against him defensively. I was, believe it or not, you know, as impressive as Moody's 43 points was, I was more impressed. I walked away more impressed with Ole Miss's defense. You know, the fact that the switching defenses that Andy Kennedy did, wasn't impressed with Ole Miss's offense at all. I mean, I didn't see him run, but you know, a couple of different sets. I mean, basically it was just run down court, let Stephen Moody jack up a three, and obviously it was very successful. You really didn't need a whole lot beyond that. But defensively, I was very, very impressed with what Kennedy did. I thought they did a good job making Mississippi State live on the perimeter. And Mississippi State's not a very good three-point shooting team. And they definitely weren't falling last night, and they were for Ole Miss. And that's kind of the story. You know, Gavin Ware ties a career high with 28 points and gets 9 boards. But at the same time, you know, you look at Stephen Moody basically doubling that. It's, not a good night for the Bulldogs. You're not going to come away with a win in that. And also the 18 turnovers that Ole Miss forced on defense. And so, like I said, I was more impressed with Ole Miss defensively than I was their offense.
I do think Ole Miss had a good game defensively, but they kind of were erratic with Ware. Sometimes they just lost him, and I'm thinking, man, the guy's that big. How do you just lose him? As Kennedy said after the game, you know, when you're playing a lot of zone defense, and you are, Ole Miss doesn't match up well in straight man to man. They don't. They've never been straight man to man for 40 minutes. Under Andy Kennedy, that's not what they've been. He changes defenses a lot. And they've gotten a lot of mileage with that half court trap and dropping back into a zone, and that was effective last night. And I know that State isn't one of the top 3-point shooting teams in the SEC, but they certainly looked like that at home in late January against the Rebels when they were 12-for-24 and Ole Miss didn't guard the perimeter well. That game, and frankly, you know, Ole Miss is last in SEC in 3-point defense anyway. So it's kind of sketchy what you're going to get with Ole Miss in that regard. You know, Kevon Allen from Florida was like 6-for-7 from three, you know, against Ole Miss in Oxford. Arkansas struggled to shoot the three in Oxford, and you know, so it's been a little bit up and down in that regard. But they did not let the Bulldogs hurt them from the perimeter last night. State finishing 8-for-26 from 3-point range. They got off to a 2-for-10 start, and that kind of set the tone. Moody hit some early shots and just really kind of got going. But as I was watching that, Logan, I was thinking, man, you know, some of these other guys going to have to score a little bit. This is not a pace I think he's going to keep up. Ultimately, he did 24 in the first half and then almost 20 again in the second half. So a huge night for Moody. And as I mentioned, it tied for the number 13 scoring night in Ole Miss history. What kept coming to my mind, Logan, during the game was the Gerald Glass and Chris Jackson encounter in 1989. I was still in Louisiana at that point. I was working at a small paper in South Louisiana, Franklin. But I remember listening to parts of that Gerald Glass and Chris Jackson game on the radio. Ole Miss would go on to win 113-112. Jackson with 55 points, Glass with 53. You know, Moody, you get 24 and a half, man. You're in that 50-point discussion. And, you know, he tailed off at the end a little bit. But just a fantastic game. And I saw on Twitter, when we were working last night in the media area there, at the pavilion, someone made the statement that it ranked among the top three individual performances by an Ole Miss athlete in one of the major sports in the modern era. And I think that the thing here is, Logan, what is your definition of modern? And as I approach my 50th birthday in May, my definition of modern is probably a larger window than your definition. But as we were working, I saw Chase Parham from RebelGrove.com come back and say the top three performances would be Dexter McCluster running the football against Tennessee in 2009, 282 yards, four touchdowns, 324 all-purpose yards. And he also mentioned Drew Pomeranz pitching against Western Kentucky in the Oxford Regional Championship in 2009. On 2 days rest, Pomeranz coming back in the winner-take-all game for the regional and throwing a complete game shutout with 16 strikeouts and two hits allowed, a dominating performance there. Then he included Moody, and I think Moody's game last night certainly is a part of that discussion. But if your window goes all the way back to 1989 when you talk about the modern era, Gerald Glass was pretty good in that game. He was 20 for 36 from the floor, so a better percentage than Moody shot last night. And Glass also had 14 rebounds, a double-double. I wasn't able to find a complete box score on that game. I don't know how many turnovers he had. Moody had like five turnovers in the first 5 or 6 minutes of the game last night. He finished with eight turnovers. But as is sometimes the case with Moody, a lot of his turnovers could have been assists if his teammates would have handled the ball more cleanly on a given play. Now, that's not all the time. And I thought Moody looked a little tight with the ball and maybe tried to force some things early in the game before settling down. But I did think that was an interesting discussion about the top three individual performances for Ole Miss athletes in the Big Three sports over the modern era. And all in all, I like Chase's list, and I'll include Moody in that discussion if we close the window just a little bit.
Yeah, and I guess, obviously what he did last night was impressive, but I've actually covered similar performances as recently as last year against games involving Mississippi State. Last year, Georgia came in to the hump in Starkville, and J.J. Frazier scored 37 points in that game, was 7 of 7 from three-point range in that game. He was 12 of 14 overall. And, that was one of the biggest performances I've seen. I mean, obviously a great shooting percentage, a guy that's kind of taken over a game. And he had 37 points in that game. Kenny Gaines had 10, and nobody else scored in double figures for Georgia. So, pretty recently I've seen a performance quite like that. And then another thing it reminded me of was Shane Foster from Vanderbilt back in 2008 against Mississippi State. That game was in Nashville. I did not cover that game. Obviously, I watched it on TV because I was covering the Bulldogs at that time. And he hit 9 straight three-pointers in that game, and he had 42 points. So, obviously I've seen a performance like that. Obviously, a lot better shooting percentage than Moody had. I mean, he put up 24 shots last night and actually put up more than that. Mississippi State fouled him quite a bit. He was at the free throw line 18 times last night. A lot of those were three free throws at a time. So Mississippi State was on him, and that's something that, the Mississippi State players talked about last night there's not much you can do. When somebody's taking threes from that deep, I mean, you just can't really defend that. That's something that Quindary Weatherspoon said. But Craig Sword was on him most of the night. He ended up fouling out. IJ Reddy was on him a lot of the night too, and he ended up fouling out. So, a lot of fouling going on with Stephen Moody, and it really didn't do a whole lot of good because he converted from the free throw line. He was 15 from 18 from the free throw line as well. So, even when you fouled him on those 3-point shots, he made you pay from the free throw line. So, an unbelievable performance. I agree with Andy Kennedy. He definitely got the Howell Trophy wrapped up for a second straight year. And I think it's actually going to be the same winners this year than it was last year. With Stephen Moody winning the Howell and Victoria Vivian's winning the Gilden Trophy.
Oh, I think you're right. And it's always difficult when one school gets two nominees up there because you tend to split the vote. I've been very impressed with Quindary Weatherspoon this year. And if I was going to vote for one of the MSU players before last night, I would have picked Weatherspoon over Ware. But, Ware, very impressive last night. But do you get those two guys from one school, and sometimes they tend to split the vote. But I think Moody is the clear choice. What I was really impressed with about last night, and I've seen him shoot a little bit better percentage. I've seen him shoot a worse percentage, but it was the well-roundedness of his offensive game last night. When he went down to Starkville last year and scored 29 points, he was 8 for 12 from three-point range. But, they kept him out of the lane. His mid-range game wasn't there last year. He was 8 for 12 from three, but he was 0 for 4 from inside the arc in Starkville last year. This time around at the Pavilion, of course, he missed the Starkville game earlier this season in late January. But last night, he had 25 points from inside the 3-point line. The mid-range game was really there. He was getting to the rim, and that was helping him get to the free throw line. He even got fouled, I think, twice on 3-point shots. He was effective in all three areas. He scored from behind the arc. He hit the free throws when he got fouled in the lane or on a 3-point shot. But he converted as well when he got to the rim, and sometimes with the pull-up jumper on the edge of the lane, maybe banking in a shot on the outside of the lane. I thought he was very effective in all three phases of trying to score. And when you are, that'll get you up to 43 points. And and for all that, Logan, there were times when he just kind of vanished during the game. He scored so much so fast for Ole Miss, and it got him in the conversation of will he hit 50 tonight. Now, there were times that he went stretches of minutes without scoring. So, Ole Miss winning 86-78. The two teams split the regular season series. One game left in the SEC regular season. The Rebels are at Tennessee Saturday morning. Mississippi State is at home against Auburn. Logan, I haven't really studied the SEC tournament bracket, but I heard somebody say last night that State and Ole Miss could end up on the same side of the bracket and possibly play again in Nashville. Have you looked at that?
I really haven't. I just know that the only thing I know, and then it's just like what somebody's told me, is that Mississippi State needs Ole Miss to beat Tennessee in order to avoid that opening day game against which would be against Auburn, and that's who Mississippi State plays in the final regular season game. So I may be covering the same two teams the final day of the regular season on Saturday, and then obviously in that opening game next Wednesday in Nashville. Tennessee beat Mississippi State, I think, by one here in Starkville, and obviously owned the tiebreaker. So I think if Ole Miss can beat them, I think that would put Mississippi State a half game ahead of Tennessee. If I'm doing my math correctly, I may be off on that, but. I'm one of those people that, I don't get ahead of myself with all that kind of stuff, because there's so much basketball still left to be played, things that can still happen. So I just let it play out, and then wherever it tells me to go, that's where I go.
That's it, man. Just follow the carrot. We're all going to get there at the same time eventually. Shifting gears a little bit, let's talk some baseball. Logan, where are the Bulldogs this weekend?
Well, they are currently in Los Angeles, California. They arrived about 1:30, I think it was our time. They had arrived just as I was going to bed early this morning, and they arrived at LAX. And it's a long trip. They're going to be out there for the Dodger Stadium Classic. They play UCLA at their home stadium on Friday. They play USC at their home stadium on Saturday. And then on Sunday, they get a chance to play in Dodger Stadium itself against Oklahoma. So three teams, three known teams out there in California. And, I don't think those three teams are having quite the year that they normally do, but it's still going to test Mississippi State playing against the traditionally rich programs, and I think it's going to better them. And obviously, they're not playing the UMass Lowells and the South Dakota States and the Alcorn States and the Nickel States that they've been playing so far. You know, these are known teams, so I think you're going to learn a lot about the Bulldogs this weekend. And you know, obviously, it could be an RPI boost. The UCLA game obviously is a rematch from the 2013 World Series championship series that Mississippi State played in out of Omaha, Nebraska. So it's going to be interesting to see that game and see John Savitz and John Cohen go head to head again in that one. So yeah, I wish I could watch some of them on TV. I think the Saturday game is the only one that's going to be available to watch. I don't know if it's on TV or I think it's just being streamed online. But you know, obviously I'll be covering basketball during that game, so I'll miss it itself. So I'll just have to kind of look at the box score and gather what I can from that.
Now, State in the midweek beat Alcorn. What was it, 35-0?
It was on pace for that. I think they scored eight runs their first at bat. It was 14-0. State used eight pitchers in that game. Got a lot of guys some work. Really didn't learn anything in that ball game. Alcorn is just Alcorn, basically. I mean, they're horrible. It's really no other word to put that. But you know, Mississippi State lost 2 to Florida Atlantic that opening weekend, and since won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 straight. So they played well since that Saturday doubleheader loss. They lost to Florida Atlantic, so they're playing pretty well right now. The offense is kind of coming through. The starting pitching rebounded this past weekend, and that's something that kind of let them down. On opening weekend, they weren't, you know, just a lot of walks in those games. And, you know, then they would walk a couple and then they would give up a timely hit to Florida Atlantic. And that's what kind of got them behind the eight ball in that one. But they had a lot of strikeouts over the last few games. So I think they're starting to come around a little bit.
Well, and, you know, Florida Atlantic is going to prove to be a very competitive Conference USA team. I don't doubt that at all. I think maybe a notch ahead again of Florida International. And International, which Ole Miss swept on opening weekend, has some improving to do defensively. I thought they pitched it well at times, and they had some decent at-bats. But those were two Conference USA teams that State and Ole Miss opened up with on opening weekend. And, you know, Logan, you see this is fairly standard baseball scheduling. I mean, you get a lot of these non-conference games. You play the regional teams, and you know, and you don't always play the toughest schedule this time of year. But if most coaches will pick out a weekend, you know, and they're going to try and land in something like this Dodger Stadium Classic. Ole Miss had a top five opponent coming in this past weekend, got a big series win against number 2 Louisville, and now they're doing something different. Right now, usually Mike Bianco will take his team on the road one time in the pre-SEC schedule, and that's usually to, you know, a respected opponent somewhere. They've gone out to TCU a couple of times. You know, they've been to Louisville. I think the Louisville series, I'm not sure if that was a weekend. I think they went up there for two games last year. But they're going to Conway, South Carolina, Coastal Carolina, ranked number 18 right now. But they're going to play Ball State, Cincinnati, and Coastal while they're there. So it'll be a little bit of a neutral site feel as well, you know, for two games. And then they'll play Coastal Carolina at their stadium. That'll be Saturday at 2. So that's kind of different for Bianco and the scheduling process. The Rebels 7-1 right now. We were told that this team is going to have a lot more pitching depth. I've seen a little more pitching depth. Ole Miss still is going to have to answer some questions there. They rallied to beat Memphis 9-7 on Wednesday before the basketball game. Memphis scored 3 runs in both the second and third innings and took a 6-0 lead before their freshman right-hander, who was making his first start, petered out, and then they started walking some guys, and Ole Miss had a 7-run third inning. And the Rebels, in contrast, began to settle down with their pitching. It was not a good start for James MacArthur, the freshman, making his second start He didn't last long against Arkansas State. He went 2.1, 2 1/3 innings against Memphis, 6 hits, 5 runs, all earned. May see a change there next week in non-conference play. We'll see what Mike Bianco decides to do there. After MacArthur on Wednesday, Andy Pagnozzi pitched well for 3 2/3 with just one run allowed, one earned run. And Connor Green, Brady Feigle, Will Stokes finished out. Ole Miss came from behind 1-9-7. But on those 9 runs, just 5 hits. And this is a team that, manufactured some runs, had some timely hitting, and had a great weekend against number 2 Louisville. Really, pitching was more the story. But the Rebels hit under 200 for the weekend against Louisville. And right now, they go into the weekend hitting 235 as a team. That's last in the SEC in the early going, and that's not like a close last. Like, the next team ahead of Ole Miss is Georgia, which is hitting 253. So, quite a bit ahead of the Rebels right there. Need to see this team come around on offense. Getting some timely hits, and a couple of players have gotten off to good starts, most notably J.B. Woodman and Tate Blackman. But beyond that, they've got some ground to cover on offense. We'll see what they can get done in Conway, South Carolina. Logan, spring football gets underway today for Ole Miss. And what's going on with football at State?
Well, they're going to wait a little bit longer. They start on March the 9th is when they'll actually start. They'll have their pro day the next day. And then I think Mississippi State's taking 2 weeks off. They're going to practice one day. They're going to be off for a couple of weeks. It's going to really, and I guess they'll cram a lot of practices in over a short amount of time. They're actually going to have their spring game. I think it's April 17th. I don't have it right in front of me, but that's the number that's popping in my head right now. They're going to cram a lot of practices in that short little window after that. It's kind of an unusual spring schedule for State this year. They'll start next week. Of course, I'll probably be in Nashville and miss that first practice. So I guess I'll have 2 weeks to learn about that. We haven't even gotten a practice schedule yet. That's just kind of what I've heard through the grapevine. I know they're starting March the 9th, but I know when they start and I know when they finish, but I don't know anything in between. But that's kind of what I've heard through the grapevine that they're going to do. They did hire a defensive line coach this week. Earlier this week, they hired Brian Baker. He's a longtime NFL assistant. I guess the biggest question mark with him is he hasn't coached in college since 1995. He's been in the NFL since then, coaching defensive line and linebackers. And, he hasn't been in, it's been, I guess, 21 years since he's coached in college. So, obviously a lot has changed in the recruiting world over that span of time. So, the jury's still out on, whether he can get out there and recruit. Obviously his NFL experience is going to help him, coaching the defensive line, but it's definitely going to be a new world for him as far as recruiting. I'm sure it's quite different than it was back in the mid-90s.
Well, Ole Miss getting started today. A couple of interesting notes about the Rebel spring practice. Number one, it will be all indoors. Everything will be done at the indoor practice facility, the Manning Center, because the practice fields are torn up. They're being renovated, reconstructed a little bit, got all the construction going on at the north end zone as it is being bowled in. Grass is being added to Vaught-Hemingway Stadium, so they're taking the turf. And they're going to put turf on one of the practice fields. They got both of those torn up right now. So all of spring will be indoors, and there is no spring game. Logan, I can't tell you that I'm really sad about that. But no spring game, where you have, all these guys playing and no numbers, or somebody's not on the roster, or, just everything that happens in a spring game.
I'm kind of jealous.
Anyway. I know you are. I know you are. Hey, folks, that's it for this week's edition of Double Coverage with Parrish Alford and Logan Lowry. We thank you for being with us. It's a production of the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. Be sure to search for The Memo, our news podcast with Brad Locke and Derek Russell, and also Prep Rally, with Brad Locke and Gene Phelps. Everything you need to know on high school sports, you can go and find those wherever you go to search for podcasts. Hey, thanks for being with us, folks.